Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch joining us for our weekly City Hall update via teleconference. Mayor, as is the new way of things right now. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And I'm sitting in my office here and looking out, and it's absolutely looked like a gorgeous day, but not many people out, not many cars out, I guess, as it should be.
Right, the new normal, as they say right now, at least. And I know we're all trying to get through this so we can get back to the real normal sooner than later, for sure.
Indeed.
How are you personally holding up during the coronavirus crisis, if you will?
Well, it's frustrating, Joe, because my makeup is, you attack a problem and try to fix it and deal with it. And this is very different than what the norm is, With flooding, we pump, we do things. With snow, we plow, we remove snow, we truck it. I mean, this is just very, very different. I mean, we're doing, don't get me wrong, we're doing a lot of things, but it's not the typical government response to a typical issue that we face, and they're usually, weather related in that case. So this is, this is very, very bizarre in some ways. Having said that, the government is working very hard. I mean, obviously, our first responders are out there, well prepared, and working with between the police, fire, and ambulance companies. We're working with Manor Community Health on a regular basis. Cynthia and Sierra has been terrific, working with South Cove, working with South Shore Medical, working with BI Milton, Harvard Vanguard. So there's different pieces to this that we're staying on top of, and obviously that those I mentioned is the medical piece, which is a very important piece. Ruth Jones is coordinating that, does a great job in a health department, very well respected in the community. So, there's certainly that piece. There's the logistics stuff of, for example, when Cynthia wanted to open up a tent for testing, we committed to the city out of our special fund, and I believe we'll probably get reimbursed for some of this from FEMA anyway at some point. But that we would set up the tent and pay for the tent rental and so forth. She's a man at Manor Community Health does not have a deep pockets like some of the big hospitals. They're a community medical center, medical health center, and they're not equipped really with that kind of money to work with those things. So we felt for the better of the community would do that, and that site also allows our first responders to get tested, which is obviously a good thing. Harvard Vanguard also set up a testing site with Convenient MD up at Crown Colonies. We work with people on those logistics. Early on, we spoke with Joe Finn, former city councilor and now president and CEO of the Mass Housing and Shelter Alliance, and worked with him on a call with Cynthia Sierra and John Yazwinski from Father Bills, with the idea of we got to get separation between the clients at Father Bills, because they, there's a lot of people in that small building. So we worked with Paul Gorman at the YMCA, who didn't hesitate to step up. And so we have half of the population that's normally at Father Bill's over at the Y on temporary beds, and the Y is helping us staff that. We got President's Hotel, Hojo's, and we're dealing with using those rooms, a block of those rooms, to assist with some of those folks from Father Bill's that may have been exposed, so they're not into the general population of the shelter. We blocked off some rooms up at the Marriott for first responders, should they get exposed, and we got to keep them from going home to expose their families. So there's a lot of logistical things going on to deal with the actual crisis as best we can. And certainly I'm proud of the efforts of everybody involved. As we mentioned last time we talked, we also took part of the appropriation, which the city council passed at my request, taking some of the snow and ice money. So we also sent some money to each of the food pantries in the city who have seen more robust activity at those. So trying to respond to people in need. We've talked about the rental assistance program with the Chamber and QCAP that helps to help out those folks that really live on the margins, that don't have much of a bank account, live paycheck to paycheck. So, it's important that we're doing all these things at the local level. I don't need, and I say this with all respect, I don't need the president or the governor to tell us what we should be doing at the local level. We've just been acting based on what we think our needs are, what our issues are on the ground here. And actually, we've been ended up being the head of the state on the sheltering stuff and the food pantry stuff, and head of the state on the rental assistance stuff. So they've all been great to work with, the governor and lieutenant governor. We talk with you regularly. You know, Congressman Lynch was talking to him yesterday about some of the federal stuff. You know, city council checks in. We're in touch with our legislators because they've been adopting legislation that's helped adopt some things, or adapt some things, I should say, that we get through the crisis. I mean, there's a lot to it. It's a fascinating time period. If I was a writer, I'd be keeping one hell of a log right now, but I don't have that discipline.
Yes, there'll be a story to tell for the future, for sure. There's no question.
Indeed.
Since we last talked to you, have instituted the Quincy Relief Fund through the Quincy Foundation. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. The Quincy Foundation is something that's been around for a little while. It's a 501c3 that we raise money through the annual golf tournament and through other donations. And then that money is used to help some of the community organizations and some of the charitable things we do locally. Plus, it helps the put the Christmas and Flag Day parades on. So that vehicle was already in place. So Colonial Federal Savings Bank is our bank. Michael McFarland, the president down there, worked with us to set up the Quincy Relief Fund as part of that account. So if people want to make out a donation, it would be the Quincy Foundation, and the memo line, it would be Quincy Relief Fund. And we're getting some pretty good activity on that with responses. So we're grateful for that. And that will help augment some of these things we're doing relating to food and needs for people that are struggling.
The city council is, I'm sure you're aware, looking for kind of a budgetary update, financial forecast in these times. And I'm sure you've already been thinking very, very much about that. Would you like to comment at all?
Yeah, we've actually been working on really doing a lot of deep dive analysis on this, and trying to do some modeling and projection to see what kind of impact, which is, you know, it's fairly straightforward in how you would address or model out the short term issues, because, you know, the hotel tax is going to be off, the meal tax is going to be off. The difficulty is how long before those accounts rebound. So that's, you know, we're working on that stuff now. Yeah, I certainly respect the council's wishes on this. I don't think we're going to be ready for Monday night with it. It's something we've already been working on, but that's something that doesn't have a real schedule to it. We've got great people in municipal finance, including our economist, Eric Mason. We've been in touch with our bond advisors and financial advisors and our outside auditor. We're watching, and you know, we're still waiting for some guidance on some of the federal stimulus that the state will provide. For example, Joe, this is the federal stimulus. Cities that are $500,000 or above, you know, the federal aid goes directly to them. Cities that are smaller than that, and we're certainly well under 500,000, we're a fifth of that. Then it comes through the state. Well, state's doing their thing right now, so we're going to have a call later this week on how that stimulus money is going to come down to the city. It's a formula set up, so it should be straightforward, and the state should just be the funnel for it. But until we get some guidance on that, that's going to have an impact on what we're doing on our analysis and projections as well. So there's a lot of pieces to it, a lot of components to it, that it's not a simple process where I can whip up a number. So I don't think we'll be ready. I think their request, according to my chief of staff, was for Monday night. I don't think that being possible at all. So my guess is we'll be more prepared for the first meeting of May, when we're talking budget, when we're talking numbers, and we'll probably try to include it in that presentation.
Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar with the first stimulus bill for, you know, citizens. Is there a secondary bill that's being considered in Washington?
Well, the first stimulus was not only citizens, but it has money in there for government.
I see.
And money in there for impact of what the COVID-19 is having on our municipal and state budgets. So there's a potential the city would be eligible for X amount of millions of dollars, but we're waiting for the guidance on how that can be spent. So is it new spending? Can it, you know, I'm told in reading the legislation by some of my staff that you can't backfill things with it. So this is for expenses directly related. You know, for example, all that overtime at the health department, police and fire that's connected to this. expenses and resources that we have to purchase for this. You know, those kinds of things, that technology that we're going to get in the schools because of this issue, those things, it appears, would be eligible under this program. So that's the first piece of the stimulus, which, you know, everybody heard about the SBA and certainly the checks going home to individuals.
Right.
There's also the CDBG section, which I had asked the congressman if he could help us with to give us more flexibility in the language of spending the CDBG, and they did do that. I appreciate Congressman Lynch's, effort on that. I know that Congressman Kennedy also called me about it, as did Senator Markey and Senator Warren. So we're grateful for that. That gives us flexibility on the CDBG side to help perhaps with QCAP and some of those nonprofits that are meeting some of the needs of people out there. You know, you don't think about, for example, Joe, people are struggling even more now on the addiction side. So places like Gavin and those places that are dealing with people that have some challenges, this adds to that burden tremendously because people losing their jobs, out of work, the anxiety, you know, they turn to the addiction stuff. So that has an impact on things. So there's so many pieces to this. What they're talking now, according to the congressman, and I certainly have read some stuff about it, but is an infrastructure bill, the next piece. And we had a good conversation yesterday about some of what Quincy's needs are and what our priorities would be. So, you know, Congress is very serious about this. And, of course, they've been talking about an infrastructure bill, as you may be aware, for a number of years, but it seemed the partisanship has gotten in the way. So, I guess out of this terrible crisis, it forces people to get to the table and get things done. So, looking forward to see how that stimulus package would impact our city in a positive way. So we're working on that piece of it, for example, our engineering department, our outside engineers, our planners. We don't know how it's going to come down. I know that under Obama, it came down as a shovel-ready project. So, we have a number of, as you know, we have a number of projects, both vertical and horizontal, construction-wise, whether, you know, vertical being the new public safety complex, for example, and the horizontal, whether it's seawalls, whether it's roads or water mains or sewer mains, you know, drainage projects. So there's a potential number of issues. A good one is Marymount Parkway, the bridge by Furnace Parkway there. People don't think of it as a bridge. You're going over what's considered a kind of a bridge culvert that's in bad need of replacement. That's about an $8 million project. So that's our bridge. That's not the state's or federal government. So, you know, bridges are probably as part of that as well. So we're doing a lot of analysis and a lot of planning so that we can take full advantage of the, and I say that in a very positive way, take advantage of the federal dollars that could be available to help this city move forward infrastructure-wise. Of course, it does a couple of things. It obviously updates our infrastructure, but more importantly, it puts people to work, keep the economy going.
Right. Speaking of the seawalls, I saw just yesterday FEMA did approve $2 million for the Adams Shore Howes Neck seawall project.
Yes, we're getting $2 million from the feds, and we're getting $3 million, it appears, from the state. We had originally put an appropriation of one, I think it was in the $15 to $16 million range, and we would say, we said at that time, if we get these grants, then that would come off the top of the borrowing needs. So that does help. We were hoping for a little bit more on the FEMA side.
Yeah.
We applied for up to $7 million, but yeah, listen, I'm grateful for what we're receiving for sure.
Sure. Mayor, do you think here in the city people are adhering to the social distancing? We saw in Boston Mayor Walsh implementing a curfew. Is that something that might be considered in Quincy?
I don't see a curfew at this point, Joe. I think that most people are adhering to it. You know, we've had some issues in the parks, and I get it. You know, people go out, and you know, there's an argument to be made. Okay, two people playing tennis, they're playing far enough, you know, aside from each other. That shouldn't be an issue. But they're each picking up that ball. They could be passing on the virus. But it gets tricky, and you know, we don't want to be a Gestapo state. You know what I mean? But the same reality is that the whole message on all of this to prevent this from spreading is to keep people from in contact, because that's how it moves from the virus moves from one person to another. So, you know, so we had to shut down the parks in a sense completely for any type of games or group activity. It's certainly people can go and walk and jog and do some things that don't, you know, require a number of people touching the ball or being close to one another. So, and it gets tricky for the police to interpret that. You know, you get, you could have a father and son just hitting the ball back and forth. They're living with each other anyway.
Right.
Is there any harm? But you don't, when you go to the park, you don't know who's who. And so the police are trying to be judicious about it, but to make life a little easier, we've kind of come down a little harder on that, suggesting to people that we just can't have any kind of formal activities.
Sure. The schools just this week, as you're well aware, started their new online curriculum. Do you think that that's something that will be of help?
I think everything helps. I think there's some expectations, this is really uncharted waters, as we know, Joe. It's really it's new to all of us. It's not unique to Quincy. It's happening across the country, the world. So, you know, there are parents that think their kid's going to be the next Einstein that want this intense education every day, even if it's remotely. And then there's parents that aren't as active in their kids' education. Then there's kids that have special needs. Then there's kids that have language challenges. This isn't simple. This is, I've been involved in a couple of meetings, Zoom meetings, and people have trouble manipulating the technology. And these are adults that, you think would understand it. So you imagine trying to incorporate this for, almost 10,000 kids citywide with a teacher staff and everything. So I think we're doing, my point is, I think we're doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
I think the superintendent and his team, they've been breaking their backs on this. They've been putting long hours in. Teachers are working at it as best they can. Now, keep in mind, many teachers are home doing this. They've got little ones because their little ones aren't in school.
That's right.
They got family needs. Perhaps parents live with them. So it's not simple. It's a bit of a challenge. So we're trying to work through it. And I would ask people to be a little bit more patient. This crisis is serious, and people are dying from it. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but we're trying to protect the public health. The educational side is important, but it's secondary to the public health. We got to keep that in mind.
Have there been any directions from the state as to changes for graduation requirements, MCAS exams, things of that nature?
Well, the superintendent and deputy superintendent, stay on top of this stuff.
Yes.
So DC, which is, the state agency that controls the school district rules and regs, are communicating on a regular basis with the school side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of speculation whether we'll be back in school or not before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Will there be MCAS exams before the end of the year? All those questions come up. If I was a betting man, I would guess that we're not going back, but the way things are going, but who knows? If this thing turns around quickly, then perhaps it will be. So there's a lot of questions that can't be answered right now. The schools are doing the best they can, both with, technology, but also with some people that may struggle with technology. They've got packets they can pick up, hard packets for learning stuff, educational packets. So everybody means well, everybody's working hard, but from my understanding, the social media side is getting a little hot and heavy on some demands by some of the parents. And I think people just got to step back, take a deep breath, and be reasonable here and be kind. Gosh, we're all in this together and we'll get through it together.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Mayor, this, of course, as you're well aware, is Holy Week in the Christian faith, something I know is not lost on you and others as well. So your kind of thoughts during this time of year?
Well, certainly as a Roman Catholic, one of my favorite weeks of the year is the Holy Triduum, which is the Holy Thursday, which is when, Christ established the Eucharist and holy orders before the priesthood. The Good Friday, where we come together in the solemn occasion of honoring his death on the cross. And then, of course, Easter Sunday is we celebrate his resurrection and conquering death and creating hopefully a spot for each of us in heaven someday. So, it's really strange where we're not going to have those services available to us in person. I know that and I'm speaking obviously to my Catholic faith, but certainly I know that Catholic Church and churches are live streaming services and masses. And I am sure Protestant brothers and sisters are doing similar things as well to get that important messages out to families. So I'm grateful for all of our spiritual leaders in the community who are doing everything they can to stay in touch with their congregants, praying for the community and for society. and given the moral boost that we certainly need. So we're grateful for all of them. I think that the Passover comes, I think, next week. We certainly want to acknowledge to our Jewish brothers and sisters, certainly a happy Passover season for them as well. And I am cognizant that Ramadan is coming up as well for Muslim brothers and sisters, and that's a time for them for atonement and repentance. And so, you know, I remember the quote Mother Teresa once said, and I think people know who she is, but a remarkable woman who nothing but love people and show them support when they were dying, when nobody was around. But she said, you know, if you're a Catholic, be a good one. If you're a Protestant, be a good one. If you're a Jew, be a good one. If you're a Muslim, be a good one. You know, the essence of things is we're all under one God. We're all part of the same human family. We got to look out for one another.
Appreciate your time, Mayor. For us, please call on us if we can be of any assistance here at QATV to communicate with the community.
You guys have been great. We do. We truly appreciate that. It's very important. I guess that's one thing we should say. Look, people are frustrated, but we have power. We have internet. We have cable TV. So, you know, it could be a lot worse, Joe.
Certainly could be, yes.
It's just, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye.